Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono or no.
All right, welcome to the show. It's Friday. I love Friday. I just love Friday. I am in such a good mood, guys. I can't wait for the weekend. Hooray for the weekend.
Working for the weekend.
Yeah. I assumed you were in a bad mood when we first connected on Skype. I think you're just putting on a front for the
why?
Why? I don't know. You always seem kind of grouchy in the morning. I think as you're working at home, yeah, I get the impression you're just rolling out of bed. You haven't shaved half the time. You're in street clothes, whatever those are.
I'm definitely not just rolling out of bed, and I'm actually like equally as dressy as you. Wow, Scott White sporting the Braves shirtsy today. How about that?
Shirtsy.
They win what? Like
I think you added a T in there. It's just a shirtsy.
A shirtsy? All right, fine. Shirtsy. What do they want? 6 out of 7?
Sounds about right. Yeah, they're red hot.
Yeah, they are, man. Good for the Braves. So Scott's all spirited. Al's being true to himself. He's looking up players that are only relevant in the deepest of leagues, right? Isn't that right, Al?
That's right. And I've moved on from Johnny Giovitella to Jet Bandy, so I'm going deeper and deeper.
Jet Bandy is actually hitting pretty well right now, kind of.
Yes, he is, as is Johnny Giovitella.
So for Bandy, what is that, like a 4-catcher, 22-team league?
That's what I'm looking into, yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. So it is Friday, and we will help you out for week 13. We'll look at the 2-star pitchers. We'll look at the most added list. I've got a bunch of guys who I think might be underowned, and you'll tell me if they are. We'll talk about Matt Harvey. I want to read some emails today at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And that's where we will start with our email of the day. It's from Andrew in Nashville. I love your podcast and all that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, my wife and daughters are killing me about my singing, and I blame it on you guys. I can't stop belting out Al Loves Rick Porcello all the time. My wife looks at me with a pitiful gaze and thinks I'm crazy now. Thanks again.
And that's only because Rick Porcello only got one strikeout last night. Otherwise, I'm sure she'd be on board.
Yeah, that's why it's pitiful. Like she's actually pitying Al in this scenario,
right.
Not Andrew in Nashville.
You know, Al, you said something last week, Al. We were doing Grade the Trade at like the 58th minute of the podcast, and you said something, and I let it go.
Uh-oh.
I want to bring it up again. You said that Rick Porcello and Jose Quintana were basically equivalent in value. You stand
Whoa.
By that?
Yeah, I was actually surprised you didn't say something.
You remember this?
You were trolling at him, is what you're admitting to.
No, I wish I was. I wish it was that intentional. No, it was one of those things where... Yeah,
you're changing your mind. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I kind of changed my mind about 2 seconds after I said it.
Yeah,
but I didn't feel like it was egregious enough to correct myself on the spot. So I'll take, 50% responsibility for what I said.
Right. One of those things where as soon as it comes out, you're like, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe not. But all right. So you would still value Quintana over Porcello, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Despite him being 1-6 in his last 7 or whatever it is.
Okay, you know Quintana's going to win 9 games. He already got 5 of them out of the way very early.
I know. It's annoying. See, the weird thing is, like, there may be some listeners out there who are like, what do you mean? Jose Quintana will never match Rick Porcello in value because Quintana's 5-7 and Rick Porcello's 8-2.
Well, and to be fair, part of what I think I was thinking when I said that was that, I mean, Porcello, if nothing else, I do think he's going to give me wins.
Yeah. I mean,
he doesn't have to be that great to get wins.
Yeah. If only Quintana was a Red Sox instead of a White Sox.
Chain socks.
Yeah, but Quintana is, you know, he's almost, I start him most weeks, but I didn't start him this week at Boston. You know, he's back to, isn't Jose Quintana back to just being what he had been? He's not having his breakout year. Is that fair?
Right. But I think what he has been has always been underrated because, like you say, he can't break the double-digit win mark for some stupid reason.
Yeah. Oh, right. I think we're all on board there. Now, let's do an all-star team, as it's almost that time of year. The plate discipline all-stars. I was going to quiz you, but now I was like, nah, that's going to take too long. So here are your top 10 in walk-to-strikeout ratio. Best walk to strikeout ratio this season. And we'll see. You guys can react from this top 10 list. Tell me what you think is fantasy relevant. Jose Altuve is number one. He has already exceeded last year's walk total. Ben Zobrist, 2. Bryce Harper, 3. Anthony Rizzo, 4. Carlos Santana, 5. So that's the top 5 in plate discipline are Altuve, Zobrist, Harper, Rizzo, and Carlos Santana. 6 through 10. Jose Bautista, David Ortiz, Nolan Arenado, who had 34 walks to 110 strikeouts last year and now has 33 walks to 35 strikeouts this year, Matt Carpenter with his .416 on base percentage, and Brandon Belt. What do you guys think of the plate discipline all-stars?
You'll notice none of these are players, for the most part, that you ever consider sitting. I guess Santana might get kind of fuzzy at times, and maybe Brandon Belt as well. But for the most part, these are like locked in fantasy performers, which is why I tend to emphasize strikeout to walk ratio so much. It's a good skill to have to be able to maintain anything close to a 1-to-1 ratio. It shows you have a good grasp of the strike zone, etc. As for those two, Santana and Belt, I mean, I actually think they're both, they probably both should never be started. I think there's a chance they might be underrated in fantasy.
Never be sat, never be sitting, you mean?
Right, yeah.
Well, but this is so new for Belt.
Right, yeah. Belt in particular is having a breakout year. In this category, if nothing else, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like, you look at how his numbers pace out. With this new and improved walk rate, he is looking not Joey Votto's very best season, but he's pacing out to like a typical Joey Votto season, which is pretty impressive.
Do either of you happen to know where Belt ranks in points leagues right now?
Oh, well, I actually know where he ranks in Roto leagues. I can tell you where Belt ranks in points leagues. But in Roto, he's number 13, and he's ahead of Votto, and he's ahead of Abreu, and he's ahead of Freeman and Pujols. So it's weird. It's like if you're playing in a categories league that only starts one first baseman, I don't know that Brandon Belt's doing anything for you or anything special for you. In points leagues, he is, I think, 10th. Yeah, he's 10th.
Yeah, because I recently, it's not a points league, but it's a categories league with OBP, our podcast categories league. Mm-hmm. And I traded Belt and probably, you know, not the value I would like to because, I couldn't play him, given the format. I wasn't going to play him over Encarnacion. I didn't like him better than my other utility options. And yet, you know, that's a format where he should shine. So, I mean, 10th does mean you're startable. It's certainly in a 12-team league, but it also means that, you know, he ranks low enough that you might not be able to start him.
Okay. I think, you know, a lot of interesting stuff here. I mean, Carpenter had a kind of regressed in walk to strikeout ratio last year. It was like one walk to every two strikeouts, but he's back to being great at that. And then David Ortiz, I mean, even if we don't want to talk about his plate discipline, how about the season David Ortiz is having? He's got an OPS over 1100, and going back, I mean, it's almost a year now, because after the All-Star break last season, David Ortiz hit .325 with 22 home runs. He had a .701 slugging percentage, 1102 OPS. So Ortiz, you know, he's not first base eligible in our leagues. He is first base eligible in Yahoo leagues. And, you know, I can do a quick check on points and just to see where he would rank at first base. But, I mean, he's been basically the MVP. So, I mean, can he mm-hmm. keep this up? Would you guys be looking to sell David Ortiz?
I don't see why not. He never has had any drop-off. And I actually was at his best in the second half last year. It's kind of a precursor to what he's doing now. I think the main thing to take away from David Ortiz's performance this year is that we're going to be talking about him for a long time in a fantasy baseball context, because every time somebody brings up the argument, well, he's 30, whatever, he's 40, he must be about to fall off. We're going to be like, David Ortiz. Doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't. Carlos Beltran and Victor Martinez. It doesn't happen. I do like when they DH, though. You know, at least Ortiz and V-Mart have that going for them.
And I'm not even saying that will be a good argument. I'm just saying it will be an argument with some historical context.
By the way, David Ortiz has scored the fifth most fantasy points. He is the number one first baseman. Altuve, Betts, Donaldson, Arenado, and David Ortiz, followed by Xander Bogaerts, Mike Trout, Robinson Cano. Your top eight, seven of them are in the American League. How about that? Nolan Arenado is the only one in the National League in points.
And he, to me, is actually the one who's the most interesting, because Arenado's never walked like this, not in the minor leagues, not at any level. And he's brought the strikeout rate down, and that's always been a strength for Arenado. But pretty exciting stuff, I think.
Cool. Let's talk about yesterday's action, guys. Who stood out to you on Thursday? Al Melchior, you can go first.
I tell you what stood out to me, and it's I think an obvious thing on a quiet night, was the change in closer for the A's with Doolittle getting the save.
Oh,
but yeah,
what the hell was that?
But well, not only what was that, but there was no social media reaction as far as I could see.
I have a theory, Al.
Okay,
so Madsen pitched the eighth inning. He faced Trout, Pujols, and Crone. I think. Mm-hmm. They used him for their best part of the order. And then Doolittle did give up two runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, the whole thing was bizarre, and including the aftermath, when I looked at that and I thought, what's going on here? And there was nothing.
Yeah, all righties there in the middle of the order. I know the first batter that was faced in the ninth was a switch hitter, Daniel Nava, who they pinch hit for, because Doolittle's a lefty. So that's my theory. Do you guys buy that? Because Madsen got the previous save.
Yeah, I do buy that. It's the only explanation that really makes sense to me.
Okay.
And, I mean, like you said, the fact that it was such a shaky outing, I don't think bodes well for Doolittle getting more opportunities. I think, if anything, Madsen's stock went up yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Through no doing of his own.
Well, actually, we're going to talk about relievers who could get traded, because if there is a trade there... I don't know. We'll talk about it, but I don't know if Doolittle automatically becomes a closer. I mean, I assume he would, but Ryan Dull's been really good too. Or Doolittle.
This
could
is like
traded.
The third straight podcast where you've mentioned Ryan Dull.
It's that
it's
time of year.
Dull, Adam.
Middle relievers. Scott, who stood out to you in Thursday's games?
Oh, there are a few things that stood out to me. One, Jose Abreu and Giancarlo Stanton, two players who frustrated their owners to no end this year, both homered. And I'm willing to go out on a limb and say we will not be worried about them again this year, either one of them. For Abreu, I mean, it's been going on all of June. He's batting .333, five home runs, seven doubles for the month. So he's back. Giancarlo Stanton, it's been more recent, but two home runs in his last three games, 10 for 25 in his last six. Had a few singles there early on that, there was a common narrative going around that the reason the strikeouts seemed to be piling up and he seemed to be getting worse and worse is because he was losing confidence. And I think singles, even though they're such a luck-based hit, just getting them in concentration like that may have helped him gain confidence, because now, two home runs in three games. I think he's back on track.
I'm going to go out on a different limb and say we are going to worry about Giancarlo Stanton again this year, and it's going to be needlessly so. This is what seems to happen with him, is that it does seem like there are a couple of times every year where
not
he goes
for this long.
Cold.
Oh, not for this long, not for this bad.
Well, maybe if he has a 2-week slump, people will, be rational and say, oh, well, he had the longer slump and came back from that, but
probably not.
Probably not.
You're probably right that we'll probably get some tweets, we'll probably get some emails, but I don't think it'll become a national story like it's been.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do something fun here. The thing is, you guys, you have to remember it for me because I've already forgotten it. So just, I forget everything. You have to remember. Let's bet, you know, gentlemen's bet, who is going to be the number one hitter in fantasy from now, right now, June 24th until the All-Star break? I will take Giancarlo Stanton. I think he has so much ground to make up and he is just going to go on an epic tear for the next few weeks. So Stanton is my pick.
That's a good one.
Yep.
So we're basically deciding who is going to be the hottest for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
Oh man. I mean, law of averages would say Bryce Harper because I think he's the best hitter in the game.
Go for it. Take him.
I like your Stanton based on the way he's. You know what? I'm going to say Justin Upton. Similar.
No.
Angle you're
oh wow. Wow. Okay.
Yep. Justin Upton.
Justin Upton. I think that's terrible. That's a terrible pick, but I appreciate your creativity. Scott or Al, how about you?
My first thought was Harper, and I was buying myself a little time because I wanted to look at the Rockies schedule because you've talked about how they've been sort of road heavy so far.
Oh, he's going super rational here.
But they're not particularly home heavy from now to the All-Star break. So I was thinking maybe Arenado, but I will go ahead and go Harper.
All right. Harper it is. I'll give Scott double points if Upton ends up being the winner.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a 3 point from the 3 point zone.
I really want to see Matt Harvey dominate and it's just not happening. And, you know, he says he's been fighting his mechanics all year, including last night. It wasn't a bad start. 2 runs in 6 innings, but 8 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts, 8 swinging strikes, I think, at the Braves.
I'm sorry, but I wonder if I'm the only person. Braves are amazing, but yeah, go ahead, Al. No, I just want to get this in here before I totally lost the moment because you said he was fighting his mechanics. And I was wondering if anybody else listening to the podcast is picturing him, you know, throwing punches at guys in jumpsuits.
No, I'm not. But now I'm picturing, I feel like Billy Joel in the Uptown Girl video is a mechanic, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So now I'm picturing Matt Harvey fighting Billy Joel. So
to Uptown Girl.
Thank you. So what do you guys think about Matt Harvey?
I pretty much agree with you. Like I'm frustrated that he's not better than this. This is 2 starts in a row against Atlanta that were good in like a Mike Leake sort of way, but not what we're expecting from Harvey and the swinging strikes. Even though there's been some improvement in the ERA, the swinging strikes haven't been great. Though actually I went back and looked at last year and was kind of underwhelmed by the swinging strikes then too. Basically Matt Harvey, like peak Matt Harvey would kill for a Daniel Mengden swinging strike rate. So, I don't know. I would still want to buy him if somebody was selling him. I think there's been enough progress that I think I can trust him to get all the way back eventually, though he's not there yet.
Now, we got a very interesting email about this subject. I'm going to pull it up. 1 second, please. It's about the Mets schedule. And it's from Adam in St. Louis, who says, "Dear Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise."
Oh, that was total mispronunciation there. Which I don't blame you. That's Pokemon.
Yeah, it is.
I had a brother 4 years younger than me, so kind of like you, you know all these like 80s sitcoms from your older siblings, Adam. I know Pokemon from my younger sibling.
Oh, okay, sure. Blame it on your younger sibling. How do you pronounce those names, Scott?
Oh, you know what? I don't know how to pronounce Venusaur, but Charizard and Blastoise are the other two.
Isn't that what I said?
You said it in a not so confident way.
I wasn't confident, but I still got it. So he brings up the Mets schedule and it is pretty awesome for the last solid month of the year. Let me read you where they're at, from September 5th on. It's all 3-game series. At Cincinnati, at Atlanta, at Washington, Minnesota at home, Atlanta at home, Philadelphia at home, at Miami, at Philadelphia. That's enticing. You know, does that, and the question from Adam in St. Louis, the Pokemon fan, does that make Harvey, DeGrom, Mats, Wheeler, guys that you should try to buy low on now in hopes of a great ending to their season with these matchups?
Well, I'd say no, because the one I would trust the most is DeGrom, and I don't you know, I mean, I guess if you buy him at whatever his value is now, he could exceed that. So maybe there's a case there for DeGrom, but if Matz is a buy low, it's because people are concerned about his health.
Right.
And I would say same with Harvey, or, you know, either health slash underperformance, which I think it might be health related. So I'm worried about Harvey and Matz regardless of the schedule.
Okay. And Jared Eichhoff, 73%. And it wasn't the most exciting night yesterday, but he kind of stood out. Just, it's been good. He's got an ERA around 2.20 or so in his last five starts. And Eichhoff is 73% owned. Does he compare to Paxton and Duffy and, probably not Shoemaker and Fulmer, but how about those other two? Paxton, Duffy, Sabathia. Is Eichhoff in that class for you guys?
I put him behind every single pitcher that you mentioned, and not by a lot, but, you know, and it comes down to strikeouts. We love strikeouts, and he's a fair strikeout pitcher, but he also can be prone to the home run, as can Duffy and maybe some of the others that you mentioned. So I just don't see where Eichhoff gets an edge on any of those pitchers.
I don't know what kind of pitcher he is, because he started out as a strikeout pitcher and then lately he hasn't been. So, but I have enough like the only outlier from that group of names you mentioned for me is James Paxton. He's well ahead of the other group.
Okay.
I'm not sure about Sabathia and Duffy.
Okay, the big news. Noah Syndergaard is expected to start on Monday. Colorado waived Jose Reyes, who will likely be a free agent in a couple of days. There are conflicting reports about the Mets' interest in Reyes to play some third base. Reyes is about 45% owned. How does that sound to you guys?
I'd say it sounds about right.
Okay. Anthony Rizzo was out with back stiffness. Wilson Contreras started at first base. Joe Maddon also said Contreras is going to play some outfield. What's your take on this?
Like to hear it. I like to hear it.
So many outfielders, though. So many guys who can play outfield. I feel like it doesn't change anything.
Well, I don't think he's saying he will only play the outfield.
Right.
That's just another possibility for him to get at bats. He only needs to start four times a week, I think, to be a one-catcher league guy, as bad as that position is.
How good is Wilson Contreras? So what do you expect from him if he plays 5 out of 7 days?
I expect
the world.
I don't know. Maybe something a little less than Jonathan Lucroy type numbers.
Yeah, that's number one catcher in fantasy.
I know. But obviously, you know, if he matched Lucroy in four games,
you know,
like it would still be less than number one. But
I think it's hard to find a comp, because I think his skill set is probably more similar to Lucroy's than most of the other top catchers, because a lot of them are guys who don't hit for average but offer power, more power than Lucroy does. And I think Contreras is somewhere sort of the middle, like maybe more power than Lucroy.
Yeah,
probably not as high, quite as high of a batting average.
Right. Yeah, though, just in from a long-term perspective, the player I've been comparing him to is Victor Martinez. But that seems aiming a little too high at this stage of his career, and Victor Martinez isn't a catcher anymore, so it's also kind of misleading. But he used to be a catcher, and look back at how he started his career, and that's what I think Wilson Contreras could potentially do.
Okay, Michael Conforto bruised his left knee and will be evaluated today. He ran into the outfield wall. The Red Sox outfielder Chris Young is going on the DL. I think he's actually already on the DL with a hamstring strain. Brock Holt will likely be back before Blake Swihart, but they need a right fielder. Homer Bailey will begin a rehab assignment.
Or even a left fielder.
What's that?
Or even a left fielder.
He's playing left field for them?
Who?
Michael Chris Young?
Yeah, he's been playing left field.
Oh, might be. Homer Bailey is going to begin a rehab assignment on Monday. How interested are you guys in Homer Bailey?
Not very. It's just, I think, because there have been so many starts and stops with Bailey. You know, once he gets through the rehab assignment, which of course probably be too late, that's maybe I'll have some interest, but, you know, I'm just not confident that he'll be back soon.
And Starling Marte pinch hit again. And Brad Ziegler's save streak ended at 43 in a row. And here's an autocorrect for you. Mets outfielder, he is Cespedes. Hopes to be back today. I like that one.
It seems to fixate on just one of the names. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either. I probably
maybe autocorrect just says, you know what, I fixed this one for you. You're on your own for the rest of this.
He is Cespedes. Okay, let's get into it a little bit here. I have some irrational concerns about Mike Trout I want you guys to put to bed right now.
Okay.
The last 10 games since being hit by a pitch on his thumb, Mike Trout is hitting .243 with one home run, two doubles and a triple, four walks, four strikeouts. But the 11 games before that, he was batting only .263 with one home run, so he's had a somewhat cold June. But, you know, there's that thumb thing, you know? Because remember the wrist last year?
I do remember the wrist last year, and, you know, anything in the general hand region, if that gets compromised, I mean, it could be a problem.
Well, but isn't this needless worry? I mean, even if his thumb is hurting him, even if it is affecting his performance lately, and what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Would you sit Mike Trout? Would you trade Mike Trout?
No, I just complain to you.
Let's worry about the things within our control, Adam.
Well, here's another thing I'm worried about. The Angels somehow have scored the 16th most runs in baseball. I don't trust it. And all the talk we've given, you know, to Freddie Freeman and Michael Franco. Yes, of course, Trout is better than that. But I'm worried about their lineup. And I'm worried that if he's like a little dinged up at the end of the year, they're just going to shut him down for like the last 2 weeks. And again, it's not something you can control. But I'm just thinking out loud here. These are the things as a Trout owner that I worry could sink my season.
Yeah, you need to, you know, just have a nice cup of chamomile tea and relax. That's okay. This I definitely don't worry about at all. And I actually do kind of buy into the Angels as an okay offensive team, which doesn't sound like anything great. But at the beginning of the year, I thought they might be the worst and certainly one of the three or four worst offenses in the majors. But they just don't strike out. And they kind of remind me of the Royals from the last couple of seasons in that regard. Not a lot of power. Wow. But guys, you know, pretty much top to bottom, who make a lot of contact. It doesn't look imposing, but you know, I think it's enough to be a decent run producing team.
You know what other lineup doesn't strike out much? The Braves. They remind me more of the Braves than the Royals, except obviously. Okay, so they have Trout, Pujols, and Calhoun. Who's their fourth?
Well,
Who's their fourth?
Braves are middle of the pack. They are 12th in strikeout rate.
Okay.
Angels are first by a decent margin.
But you would expect the Braves to be much lower than 12th. How bad the offense is. They're a high contact team.
Yeah, but here's the difference. The Angels have Johnny Giavitella.
Oh, that's the difference.
Just to come full circle.
He's a difference maker.
Yeah. Some relief pitchers who could get traded at the deadline. And, you know, this is relevant because who you should be worried about and who you should be stashing. We talked about this last week. We might do this every week until the trade deadline. But Aroldis Chapman, Andrew Miller, Dellin Betances, they all have a chance to be traded. Miller's probably the best stash, better than Betances. And I would say the Yankees have talked about how they're going to, you know, wait a little while to figure out if they're buyers or sellers. But if they don't get at least two out of three from the Twins this weekend, I'm looking for Andrew Miller in every league. other pitcher, Aroldis Vizcaino's already been linked to trade rumors. Who else stands out? I mean, I can't imagine Fernando Rodney should stay on the Padres.
Right. I don't know who to speculate on there. If I had to, it would be Ryan Buchter. But nobody's really been great besides Rodney in that bullpen. Just going back to Vizcaino for a minute in the podcast categories league, I did pick up Jim Johnson this morning because I think Vizcaino is gone for sure. And I would assume Johnson's going to be next in line. And he's been good lately.
I think Vizcaino has 9 saves so far.
Right. I think it's a wild guess who would take over in Atlanta. Like, I could see Chris Withrow doing it, or maybe by that point, Simmons will be back.
Simmons is never coming back. He's with the Angels.
The other Simmons, whose first name I can't remember, Shea. Which is why it's Shea Simmons.
How do you forget that name? That's such an all-star name. All right. Well, who else? Like, what does the Rodney owner do right now? There's a very good chance. There's a decent chance, better than decent chance, that Fernando Rodney is not going to be getting saves in the second half of the year.
I mean, if you're looking for a handcuff, I would go Buchter. But if it's just a situation where you're speculating on saves, I think I would just maybe look to a different situation.
No, I,
not
I
really
think I'm gonna, I think I'm going
to
trade him.
Iglesias, right?
Well, yeah, I would definitely do that first.
I think I'm going to trade. I'm going to try to trade Fernando Rodney in the one league I own him in to some owner who's not really, you know, doesn't really understand that he might get traded.
One prospective closer who I'm not sure we've ever mentioned is Adam Ottavino. If, I mean, Jake McGee wasn't great as a closer for the Rockies. Carlos Estevez just took a loss yesterday. I would suspect Estevez has a better chance of keeping that role than Ottavino coming off the DL and taking it. But Ottavino had taken over the role before he blew out his elbow last year, and he's set to come back mid-July. I could see by early mid-August, maybe he's the favorite for saves in Colorado. I could see that.
Jeez, I was just thinking, I have a team with Madsen and Rodney. That's those guys, I feel like, are two very possible candidates. I'm not going to call them likely, but guys that could easily get traded, should get traded. Scary. All right. Anything else, guys? Houston Street, maybe?
That's another situation, even more so than the Padres. No clue who would be there. I mean, some clue. I mean, I would think Joe Smith or Fernando Salas, but I don't really like either one very much.
Phillies?
That one's gotten cloudier, too, because Neris hasn't been as good last, I don't know, month and a half.
He hasn't, but both Hector Neris and David Hernandez have closer numbers, like particularly in terms of strikeout rate. I would be thrilled with either one of them as a closer, but yeah, it's kind of, I would still guess it's Neris, but it could be David Hernandez instead.
I mean, if we're throwing names out there, I mean, I don't think Steve Cishek is in trouble, but I love what Edwin Diaz is doing in a setup role for the Mariners. He's been outstanding. I could see him being a closer by the end of the year.
Well, listen, I hope you listened to our FanDuel advice yesterday, at least with the hitters. Socrates Brito, Matt Kemp, Jake Lamb. We actually had some good calls yesterday, and you may have won some money on FanDuel.com. Now go out and do it again. Every day is a new season. It can be exhilarating following your FanDuel team or teams every night, and it's a reason to watch a random baseball game and get really into it. And that's part of the fun and part of the thrill of FanDuel.com, the best and only place to play your daily fantasy baseball. Enter a contest for as little as $1, set a lineup, sit back, watch baseball, win money, end of story. I like that. I'd sign up for that. Special offer for new users. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's automatically refunding your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. One word, no spaces. HOMERUN is the promo code. All right, so I have a lot more in the notes than we're going to have time for, so I'm going to skip around here. And here's a segment, Most Underowned. I picked a bunch of players who might be underowned. You tell me. We'll do three at a time. Who's the most underowned in this group? Shelby Miller at 58%. Derek Norris at 51%. Norris is the number four catcher in fantasy over the last month. And A.J. Reed at 48%. Shelby Miller, Derek Norris, A.J. Reed. Who's the most underowned?
They all sound pretty good to me. If anything, Norris might be overowned at 51. I guess I'll go with Shelby Miller because, I mean, it was such a stark contrast. His first start off the DL versus all the ones before going on the DL that I think whatever was wrong with him mechanically, he's figured out. And in that case, it may not be much longer before he's like 90% owned.
Okay, next group of three. Javier Baez has started 8 of the last 9 games for the Cubs. Baez is 47% owned. Leonis Martin is 44% owned. Daniel Mengden is 34% owned. Baez, Martin, Mengden.
For me, it is Martin. Yeah, 44 seems low for him. Seems like it should be at least in the 60s. Seems like there's no Roto owner that couldn't use him.
Must own in Roto, for sure.
So, yeah, he seems pretty low. The other two, certainly the potential to be more useful, but I think those ownership rates right now are about right.
I'm really excited about Mengden. I could make a case for all three of these, Baez, Martin, and Mengden being underowned, but I agree Martin is the most underowned.
Next group, we'll do four here. Mitch Moreland is 26% owned. Steven Moya is 23% owned. He had another good game yesterday, and he walked twice. Yes. And Marwin Gonzalez is 9% owned, and Chris Coughlin is 8% owned. Moreland, Moya, Marwin Gonzalez, Chris Coughlin, all owned in less than a quarter of our leagues. Who's the most under-owned?
I've been a Moya detractor, but I guess just by process of elimination, he's the most under-owned. Because I think he actually has the standout skill, the power. I'm not confident there's any going to be enough of anything else to make him mixed league viable.
I gave some consideration to Marwin Gonzalez. Not that I think Moya should be owned in more leagues, but he is. But Gonzalez at 9% strikes me as pretty low because he's getting some steals. He doesn't have a standout skill. He also doesn't necessarily have a position, certainly when AJ Reed comes up. But, AJ Hinch really seems to like him. He can play third base. He can play just about anywhere. And he can offer a little something in most categories.
All right, guys. So I want to bring up Eduardo Nunez here. It's going to be sort of a random picking of players throughout the rest of the show. I was going to do a buy-high segment, like guys that maybe fantasy owners aren't buying into, but you are, so you'll gladly take them off their plate. And I was thinking Eduardo Nunez, but I noticed in the last 15 games, Eduardo Nunez has zero extra base hits. Zero. And he is not even a top 20 shortstop. So
he's not.
Not in the last 15 games. Oh. He went on a little power binge. Mm-hmm. Four home runs in five games in early June and all of May. He had a good slugging percentage. But in the last 2 weeks, that's when he's not a top 20 shortstop, I should clarify.
Got it.
Just in time for me to start him in the podcast league. Way to go.
How it works. I don't care that he's not hitting for power. The steals will come and maybe it's a drought over the last couple of weeks, but in a roto league, I'm keeping Nunez active.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a different argument though. It's like,
so are you buying into him?
Yeah.
I picked him up in the podcast league and started him because I just got tired of ignoring him.
buying into the power, no. Buying into him providing enough steals that I need to start him, yeah.
Well, what about in a points league, which is the format where I actually have him? I'm asking for your advice, basically.
Okay. I think you should sit Nunez in
okay.
a points league.
Should I drop Nunez?
Hang on for a while.
Okay. So there's some skepticism there, mm-hmm. but you think there's also a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance.
So it's interesting. If you had dropped him, if you dropped Nunez in that league, I don't know if I would drop Gene Segura for him.
In the points league I'm talking about? I just picked him up. He was unowned prior to this week. He may have been picked up at some point and dropped.
He was, because I tried to pick him up a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I didn't get him. Thankfully, at this point. All right, let's see. What else we got here? Two guys that I wanted to talk about yesterday that we didn't get a chance to. Eric Hosmer and Stephen Piscotty. Eric Hosmer is a top 10 first baseman. He's ninth in points, and he's seventh in roto. And he has a career-high batting average, career-high on base. And he is slugging .498, big-time career slugging percent. Actually, I'm not sure about the on-base. But definitely career-high batting average, barely. Career-high slugging percentage by 39 points over last year. However, what do you think about, he's not really hitting for a lot of power now. Do you think Hosmer finally gets to 20 home runs? He has 12 home runs right now. What do you expect from him rest of season?
I think he makes 20. I think he probably gets 20.
You're giving him 8.
I'm giving him 8. Because he got the front-loaded power surge and if he just does what I figured he'd do coming into the season from here on out, he'll get 8 more.
So what reasons are you doubting the pace he's on? His track record?
Track record, exactly. Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I felt like last year was a career season for him, right? And, I guess the partial rookie season was probably the best he's ever been. But last year was the second best he's ever been. And I could see he's only 26. I think there's still some upward trajectory going on here. I'll give him maintaining this current pace, and in that case, puts
maybe
him
about 25.
About
right?
25, yeah.
All right, because Hosmer has been cold. He's batting .236 with 2 home runs in June, and that makes him the number 26 first baseman in points, number 34 in roto. Okay. So, Stephen Piscotty. At what point do you start considering dropping Stephen Piscotty?
Never.
Okay.
No, seriously. Like, I look at his raw numbers, and I'm underwhelmed. I'm like, oh, he only has 8 home runs. Then I look at his actual week-by-week production, and I'm like, okay, well, no wonder nobody's sitting this guy. The numbers have been fine. It's kind of a weird case like that, where there's just enough of everything going on that he's indispensable.
Last 25 games, Piscotty's batting .227 with 3 home runs, 12 walks, 16 strikeouts.
I guess it's the walks that have carried him recently.
Well, so what about in a categories league?
Well, in a categories league, you're usually talking 5 outfielders. I guess maybe not always. I guess maybe in a 3 outfielder categories league, I could think about sitting him. But that's, you know, he's started in 11% fewer leagues than he's owned. That might cover all the 3 outfielder category leagues out there.
What about Adam Eaton? Adam Eaton is number 32 in points, number 57 in Roto in the outfield position. And the guy just doesn't do anything for categories owners. So if you're in, you know, maybe on another website, whatever, a 3 outfielder category podcast, or three outfielder category league, and you have Adam Eaton with his 3 home runs and 6 steals, you know, you're not getting credit for the 12 doubles and the 7 triples. When do you consider dropping Adam Eaton?
I don't. I'm benching him. It's sort of reminiscent to me of Kevin Pillar, who I had in a 5 outfielder categories league and then did eventually drop him. But I think Eaton has, I think, much greater potential. He really turned it on the second half last year. And I'm not saying I think he's a second half type player, but there is the precedent there for him to, you know, be red hot for an extended period of time. So I think he could do it again.
I want to amend my stance on Piscotty a little because I opened up his page here. And it may be one of those situations where sometimes in the process of podcasting, obviously we're not prepared for every player going to ask us. We're just talking off the top of our head. I may have been thinking about something I saw for Piscotty 2 weeks ago, you know. He's actually coming off 3 straight weeks of less than 15 fantasy points, which is underwhelming. But if at the same time, if that's like at his worst, then I think that makes him hard to justify sitting still, because we know obviously he's going to get better than the .220 whatever he's hit over the last 25 games.
And I'll put Piscotty in kind of the same bracket where I'm putting Eaton, which is that last year he had more power than I expected from him. I'm not sure that if that was a one-time thing, but until we're even deeper into the season, I want to give up on that.
By the way, you talked about Eaton getting hot. He's batting .395 in his last 10 games, but again, no
still
home
no
runs.
Power though, right?
No home runs, 1 steal, but 13 runs. We were hoping that he would pick up the runs scored, and he has. And he's batting second now, behind Tim Anderson. Things have changed in that regard. 3 doubles, by the way, 2 triples in those 10 games, just no homers.
Eaton needs to change his socks, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with categories leagues that have homers and don't account for doubles and triples. It's very frustrating for some particular players in fantasy. All right, so I don't like making fun of people. It's not my thing. But I'm just going to make fun of people for a little bit. Just a little bit. If you're part of the 43% of our owners that own Tim Lincecum, or 43% of our leagues, if you are responsible for that, you should be made fun of a little bit. I'm sorry.
And you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, shame. Now, let's get into the most added and the 2-star pitchers. First
that wasn't
of all,
very fun.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they're going to make fun of them, and you just said they should, you know, they shouldn't own him, but that wasn't really making fun.
No, it wasn't.
No fun was made.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Idiots. Joey Votto.
There you go.
Sat with the flu. Wade Miley's going to be back in a few days. Trevor Plouffe's day today. And John Jay has missed 3 straight games with a forearm injury. Not expected to go on the DL, but if he does, Travis Jankowski keeps stealing bases. That's 3 in his last 2 games. So the most added players, we've talked about most of them. Wilson Contreras is now 74% owned. Whit Merrifield is 51% owned. Justin Turner, 76. Daniel Mengden, 35. Cody Reed, didn't talk about him. Scott, you like Mengden a lot. Cody Reed's 41% owned. Who do you prefer?
Well, I know this is, people are tired of hearing me use this phrase, but Mengden is relief pitcher eligible.
All right, then,
so
no,
in those formats,
forget that.
I
nope.
prefer Mengden.
Roto. Categories, Roto, forget that.
I'll say Cody Reed, but he has just one start to Mengden's three now, so it's Mengden's closing the gap. I mean, unless, you know, Reed continues to do the things he's done well.
This most added list is boring to me.
It is.
Yeah. Well, it was a boring day yesterday.
We've talked about everybody pretty much. There are three guys who are in like the 15 to 20 range on the most added list. They're owned in between 56 and 65% of leagues. They are Zach Davies, Rajay Davis, and Kevin Pillar. What do you think about those three? Zach Davies, Rajay Davis, Kevin Pillar.
I think Davis, nice pairing there. Yeah. Davis is still under-owned at 56%. So another one who needs to be owned in pretty much all roto leagues. Davies, I think, is getting to be over-owned. And Pillar, shouldn't be any higher than 65%.
Two-star pitchers. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Are there any at Colorados next week? I think there are.
There are.
Yeah. Marco Estrada at Colorado, home against Cleveland.
Still might be tempted to do that in the points league. Sounds kind of scary in Roto.
J-Hap is a definite sit with those matchups, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You cool with Matt Harvey? He's got a tough week. Matt Harvey's got at Washington and home against Chicago.
No, I'm good with it. I mean, he's disappointing start by start, but I don't think there's enough disaster potential there to sit Harvey.
What are you doing with Chris Archer? Boston and Detroit at home.
I'm probably starting him in both formats, actually, because I mean, even though he's going, I mean, you expect him to drag down your ERA and WHIP in categories anyway, but he'll still get a lot of strikeouts.
Danny Duffy's been struggling a bit. He's got St. Louis at home and at Philadelphia. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Home start should definitely help Duffy, and even more so a Philly start.
Edinson Volquez, I'm not sure if he's had one good road start all year. That's just off the top of my head. And he's got two of them next week at St. Louis and at Philadelphia. Maybe Philadelphia will finally be the one, but would you start or sit Volquez?
He's pretty sad. I think I'd sit him.
I would too.
Let me see. Is there one? Oh, yeah. Okay. April 15th at the A's, 6 innings, 2 runs.
Yeah, at the A's.
That was the last. Oh, no. Here's at the Twins, 6 2/3, 2 runs. Those are the only two quality starts on the road for Volquez. So maybe you can get one at the Phillies, but not. What was the other one? At St. Louis? Probably not.
Oh, here's a fun one you skipped over.
Okay.
Trevor Bauer at Atlanta, at Toronto. The contrast.
Yeah, I'd do it just for Atlanta.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd do it anyway. I'm about to the point where I start Bauer every week, no matter one start or two.
I'll start Sabathia with Texas at home and San Diego on the road. How about you?
I'm not even thinking twice about it. I'm definitely starting Sabathia.
I am worried. Like I said to Scott yesterday, I'm worried about the ankle with Sabathia. Just like, he's such a big dude, a lower body injury. The way the knee affected him last year, I don't think it's a slam dunk with the ankle. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Scott Kazmir at Pittsburgh, home against Colorado.
I don't think so.
He's not been very good lately.
No.
Liriano, Dodgers at home, A's on the road.
Hasn't been very good all season.
So two starts, he might finally get the number of innings you'd hope to get from another pitcher in one start.
Adam Conley at Detroit and at Atlanta.
Start him up.
John Gray, Toronto at home, Dodgers on the road.
Gosh, probably not.
Nah, not with that arm fatigue thing.
Right. It seems pretty risky. Not confident he's really going to make two starts. And the first one would be Toronto at home. So, yeah, no.
Okay. Julio Urias is listed as a two-star pitcher, but that's not going to happen.
Or will it?
It could. I'm right, not banking on it. I'm probably not starting him, but could happen.
Yeah, okay. Blake Snell, Boston and Detroit at home.
Benching him.
I like this one a little bit if you want to be a risk taker. Eduardo Rodriguez at Tampa Bay and home against the Angels.
Yeah, I just don't feel confident in Rodriguez yet.
Yeah. one okay start last time after a couple disasters.
Yeah.
The matchups are good, but Tampa Bay isn't as good against left-handed pitchers. It's not as favorable of a matchup for a left-handed pitcher as a righty.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work out, then he's facing the Angels, who don't strike out.
Matt Whistler, two home starts, Cleveland and Miami.
I like this one.
You do?
Is it Whistler or is it Whistler? Like, does it rhyme with Twizzler?
I thought it did.
I thought so, too.
Okay, I'm sorry. Matt Whistler, who I just dropped because I think he's crap. I don't know what you guys see in Matt Whistler. He doesn't strike out anybody. He maybe can get you a quality start. He maybe can get you a low whip, but, you know.
Yeah, those things count. And, what I like about Matt Whistler is the potential in a two-start week, especially with two home starts.
Yeah, two losses in there to Cleveland and Miami.
Look, two losses, if they're Whistler-level losses, they're going to be worth one win for another pitcher. Well, maybe not an ace, but another mid-range pitcher.
All right, fine. I'll give you Matt Whistler. You give me Clayton Kershaw. One-start Kershaw.
Oh, well, I'll take Kershaw, too.
I'll start Kershaw for Whistler, yes.
Come on. But all if right. It's Whistler versus, like, a one-start...
Sonny Gray.
No, I was thinking even lower than that. I'm terrible at just pulling a name
me
out of
too.
The blue like this.
Me
Kyle
too.
Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks, yeah. I will take a two-start Whistler over a one-start Kyle Hendricks.
I will
maybe
too.
In a points league, but in a categories league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Robbie Ray, Philadelphia and San Francisco at home.
I don't like it as much as Whistler, but he's startable.
Daniel Megden at San Francisco, home against Pittsburgh.
I bet Scott's starting him, and so am I.
Would you
don't speak for me, Al.
Would you rather have Megden or Whistler?
Tell me I'm wrong. No, I'd rather Megden.
Than okay. Whistler?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. We got Dan Straley against the Cubs and at the Reds at the Nationals.
Ew.
You know. And I don't really think there's anyone else you're going to be interested in. Kendall Graveman's had two good starts in a row. He gets the Giants on the road and Pittsburgh at home.
Depends what you mean by good, Adam.
Good, fine in a points league, I'm sure. Get a quality start, get a win out of it.
Yeah, one strikeout.
Okay, yeah.
No,
so.
No, I'm not trusting Graveman. I'd trust John Gant over Kendall Graveman, probably.
Let's do some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Tony from Ohio. I don't know why we're getting emails with this subject matter so frequently this year. We are attracting the wrong crowd, I guess. But he says, Dear Scott, Logan, and Charles.
Those are X-Men.
Yes. Good for you.
Yes.
I made a trade last night while I may have been influenced by a certain source. I woke up this morning to it being accepted. I traded Carlos Martinez for Adam Duvall in a Dynasty Points League. I have good pitching, and my outfielders are Piscotty, Blackman, Bruce, Holiday, and Beltran. Please grade the trade and tell me how bad I messed up giving up Carlos Martinez and Adam Duvall for Adam Duvall in a Dynasty Points League.
You messed up, Tony. You messed up big time. You are going to be the bottom feeder in your Dynasty League for years to come with a move like this. I'm ashamed of you.
It's a D.
It's not a good one. This is from Kyle in Weehawken, New Jersey. Dear John, Chris, and Perry. Are those Pokemon, Scott?
I think so.
No, I'm stuck on Matthew Perry, which is probably wrong.
We don't know who John, Chris, and Perry are. Please explain to me your rankings of Adam Wainwright. He seems almost all the way back to what he was in 2014. His curveball has been amazing. So is his cutter. I think at the very least, Wainwright should be in the 30s.
Well, Kyle, make your own rankings and put him in the 30s. I'm with you that it seems that way, but let's see a little more. And you don't run before you can walk, you know? That's really all there is to it.
Yeah.
I just want to see a little more.
I think I need to move him up a little, not to the 30s though.
I don't know that he's back to,
yeah,
to
that. That feels a little premature.
Well, yeah.
Been that way last seven. Last seven compare to his 2014 numbers.
Yeah, it's seven
sub
damn starts.
Array.
His last two don't.
Okay.
Well, actually,
but
his last two probably do.
Because
he's got a good one in there. Very good one against Houston. All right, a few more from Nick. Grade the trade. Dear Crockett, Tubbs, and Switek? Swidick?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's Miami Vice, but I don't know who Swiatek is.
Yeah, me either. I'm in a 15-team roto league. I have an overabundance of middle infielders. I'm in need of pitching help, specifically ERA and whip. So Nick has middle infielders. He needs ERA and whip. He traded Chris Archer, Anthony Rendon, Gene Segura, and Addison Russell. Woo. All right, Archer, Rendon, Segura, and Russell. He got back Strasburg, Leonis Martin, and Justin Turner.
Well, I like. B.
Yeah, I'll go for that. I'll say B minus.
Brett,
no, I'll say B. There's a big enough gap between Strasburg and Archer. Sorry.
Brett from Jersey. Dear Harry, Vin, and Mel, what do I do with Albert Pujols? In a shallow league, there are many good players out there. Who should I or shouldn't I drop Albert Pujols for? Thanks. Adam, you sound nothing like Scott.
Well, when you lower your voice below mine.
Let's say that was the reason I do it then.
If we're looking at the whole, you know, pool of players, that's...
If it's a shallow league, I could see him being pretty expendable.
Yeah, but if I'm just thinking in terms of a first baseman, who am I going to pick up?
Well, maybe it's not that situation. Maybe it's he has another first baseman he can start and Pujols is just sitting on his bench. I mean, I'm kind of filling in the gaps here, but I'm fine. I don't know, 10 teams or fewer with obviously a first base spot to fill, but no corner infield, maybe just a DH. I think you could get away with dropping Pujols, but you shouldn't be surprised if somebody picks him up either.
Right. So, you know, help out with the Leonis Martin ownership problem. Pick him up. Or you need steals, pick up Melvin Upton.
Really? I want to drop him for those two.
You need steals? And Upton's out there?
And
you have a viable first baseman?
I can't.
Melvin Upton?
There can't be better out there in the shallow league I'm talking about.
Okay, you're right. In the shallow league, then, yeah, there probably are better. But I don't know, Rajay Davis, if you know.
Even that sounds lame, but I mean, I guess part the problem is there's not a lot of steals to be had.
Well,
so.
That's kind of my point.
I can't drop Pujols and from Melvin know. Upton. I can't do that either. I would have to shower after that. It would just feel very dirty.
Well, I'm trying to think of a scenario because, you know, if you need power, you might as well keep Pujols.
Yeah.
So what are you looking for if you're dropping Pujols?
I don't know. If it's
a pitcher, you know.
Well, would you drop him for Archie Bradley?
I mean, see, I probably wouldn't.
Probably not.
Right.
It's hard to know because I've created this scenario where it's a certain depth of league where players who aren't used to being available are going to be available, like Albert Pujols after this move happens. So it's, you know, if like a James Paxton was out there. If Matt Shoemaker was still out there, I'm sure he's not universally
owned
yet.
I'd do that in a second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's it for the show, guys. Thank you very much. We have great content on the website. I always find the when I'm making my ad drops over the weekend, the hitting column to tell you the best and worst matchups, I find that to be very, very helpful. So check that out. We rank every two-star pitcher. Check that out. Just a lot of great content to help you out. And if you missed anything from the NBA draft, we have great NBA draft coverage, all the grades, the winners, the losers, things like that. So go to CBSSports.com and just dig in there. For Scott White, now Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Machado or Bono or no.